The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
All right, y'all, welcome back to the Fearless Podcast. We are at episode 85, and today I have another awesome guest that I would like to introduce to y'all. I have Andy Schoonovert. Did I get your name right?
Yes, Schoonovert. You did a nice job.
Yeah, so I thought maybe we could kind of open this up. Andy, if you could give us maybe a little bit of background on yourself and what kind of led you to your current enterprise.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, a little bit of background. I live in Austin. I've been here a little over 10 years, going on 11 years. Moved down from Cincinnati. I sold my last company, and it was negative 12 degrees the day that I sold it. And I joked with my wife, it was the day I realized that God did not intend for people to live in Ohio in the wintertime. So I wanted to go and do, I'm an entrepreneur at heart. And so I knew I wanted to go somewhere entrepreneurial and warm. So moved down to Texas. It took me, 35 years to make it down here, but here I am.
Welcome.
Funny enough. Thank you. And we were talking about Texas Slim right before this, before we got on, and I met Texas Slim and I said, hey man, like, when do I become an official Texan? I've had three kids here. Like, does that make me an official Texan? And he's like, well, Andy, have you worn out your first pair of cowboy boots? And I was like, I have not. And he's like, well, there's your answer. And I was like, all right, that's fair. That's fair. But anyway, finally got down to Austin. Like I said, I had sold my last company, and as such, I didn't have health insurance. And so I went, which I kind of ignorantly thought was my only option, went to healthcare.gov and got one of those Affordable Care Act plans. And it was $1,200 a month for my fam. And it worked until I had to use it. When my little one was one, she was having recurring ear infections. And so we went to the ear, nose, and throat doctor. And he's like, oh yeah, she's got a hole in her eardrum. And so you have to go get tubes in her ears. She's like, no big deal. It's a 15-minute procedure. And so we went and did that to an in-network facility. And I got the bill, and it was $8,000. I was like, holy crap, $8,000 for 15 minutes? Like, that's ridiculous. But, this is the whole point of health insurance. Like, health insurance will pay for it, right? Well, I got a little note, funny enough, via snail mail a few weeks after that from my health insurance plan, said it was medically unnecessary, and so they weren't going to pay for it. And so I went through several rounds of appeals, and at the end of the day, they're like, nope, we're not paying for it. And so I had to stroke an $8,000 check to the local hospital. And as you can imagine, I was pretty pissed. And it was at that point where I was like, screw this. Like, I'm not going to be a part of this system anymore. Called my health insurance plan, said, if you're not going to pay my bills, I'm not paying your bills. I quit. And I have been uninsured since. And so, as I told my wife that we were now uninsured, she kind of looked at me as like, okay, so how are we going to do this? And it, over a period of time, I just realized that, I can negotiate with hospitals. I can go to alternative places to get care that are significantly less expensive. And, ultimately, I found that I could, viably live outside of the legacy health insurance space. And I kind of came to the conclusion, I bet other people would be interested in this. And so I after my last company was in healthcare, I was like, I'm never getting in healthcare ever again. It's so brutal. But, I guess God wanted me to be in healthcare. And so I started another company and called Crowd Health back in 2021. So we're going on our fourth year, and it's been a blast.
Yeah, this is so awesome. Before we get too deep into the weeds, every guest on the Fearless Podcast gets a gift. So my first question is do you drink coffee?
I do drink coffee.
Good. Because I had a guest on and they said they didn't drink coffee. And then I questioned if they were human or not. But no, but anyway, so we have our own private little roast line. And
we have
whole bean. We have whole bean or ground. This is the Southern brew. So we have a light, a medium, and a dark roast. And we sell it whole bean or ground, and it's freshly roasted and freshly ground. And if you just let me know, like, what your favorite, roast is, I'll make sure we send you out a bag of coffee and you can check it out.
Yeah. Give me whole bean as dark as you can make it.
Okay. We'll do it. Well, thank
you. Right.
That's just a little thank you for your time. A little bit of my background is we've been outside of the conventional medical system for about 20 years, and we've been participating in medical sharing, and we've been on a couple different platforms. And what has concern me. It's been a wonderful process. Both of the companies, our first company we were with was MediShare. The company we're currently with is Samaritan Ministries. And it's an incredible process, especially compared to the monolithic conglomeration that is healthcare.gov, which is really what's created all the issues. That's what has exacerbated all the issues. It's been a great process, but our monthly share has steadily increased, dare I say, seemingly month over month. And so what I'm seeing is as the global cost goes up, obviously, it would push our sharing burden up. What I thought was so incredible and innovative about how crowd health is revolutionizing the space are these different metrics that you're putting in place. Because just to be super honest, and it is self-serving, we're a health-conscious family. Our podcast is about faith, food, family, farm, and finance. And we believe the approach to life is an integrated approach. So it's not an over-focus in any area. All those areas overlap, you know, which is why we have a farm and raise cows. So you have to be involved in the process, like in the financial process. You can't be ignorant. You have to be involved holistically in all of those realms. And what I saw in a sharing space that concerned me is here we are. We pay attention to our health. We focus on our health. And now in the past 2 years, since we've become carnivore and become even more proactive with our health, we've also said, you know what we should do is we should monitor our numbers, like financially, right? If you don't monitor your numbers, if your cash flow exceeds your income, your upkeep will be your downfall, right? And so if you're not watching your financial numbers, you will collapse in financial ruin. Well, if you're not watching your biomarkers and your blood work numbers, like you don't know what may or may not be happening, but an inexpensive, simple blood test, right, can show you a lot of things, and it's part of the education process. And what I thought was fascinating about what Crowd Health is doing is there are certain barriers of entry, certain requirements to join. And then even within Crowd Health, there is something like the carnivore crowd, which is a subset within Crowd Health. And I'm like, this is so revolutionary, because what a better way, right, to reduce cost is to then conglomerate or group folks together that are more health focused, that just statistically should have less interactions with the medical care system. It's such a simple idea. And then somebody systematizes it and puts a way to make it happen. I was so fascinated by that my son recently got married. And I said, Matt, I'm like, you should look at this Crowd Health thing. And we started looking into it. And I'm like, wow, this is incredibly affordable. It's very straightforward. So he was like, yeah, we're going to sign up. So they sign up. And no joke, it was literally the first week. His wife is here on the farm and she's out with the horses. And one of the horses kicks at the other horse, knocks her over, she fractures her wrist. And it's just like, what? Are you serious? So they got the app. They put, you know, they click, notify the app. They go to our local hospital, and $85, they get their docs uploaded on the, the beauty of simplicity and ease of use and like the easy button. Like, I don't want to try to over promote anything, but it truly, it's one thing to hear about a product or to hear about a system. It's another thing to experience it. And it's been just a very enjoyable experience. The value versus the cost is incredible, in my opinion. So, recently, Tucker Carlson interviewed a guy by the name of Brigham Bueller. Yep. And I thought it was very interesting. And it's got probably 600,000 or 700,000 views on YouTube. he kind of broke down the issues with the medical system, how it's broken, you know, and unfortunately, in the day and age we live in, the solutions that are talked about are political solutions, like even this whole idea of like make America healthy again. Okay, what are you bureaucrats and what are you power brokers going to do to make people healthy? You need to make seed oils illegal and do this and subsidize that and stop this and prohibit that, when we know that a real solution is a free market solution, right? And then everybody else can play stupid games and win stupid prizes. But if we allow the free market to operate and function, they will bring the solutions to the market. And then those that are willing to educate themselves can participate. From what I've seen and what we've experienced so far, there were like seven, I jotted down some notes here. The first main issue is the profit-driven nation, the profit-driven nature of healthcare. It's a major issue. The second issue was an issue that was completely unbeknownst to me: pharmacy benefit managers and the way that they're prostituting the entire system to rip everybody off. The high cost of patients, delayed and inadequate care, chronic disease epidemic, public distrust and frustration, lack of transparency, inequalities in access. So these were like the seven main issues that that was brought up in this interview. And what was fascinating to me is when I looked at those issues and looked at what Crowd Health was bringing to the market, it appears to me that every single one of those issues are addressed and confronted and resolved on the front end. Maybe you could elaborate or break that down a little bit for us.
Yeah, I mean, I think when people like ask what's going wrong with healthcare, they think it's very, very complex. And I think it's actually pretty simple to understand. In essence, what you have is, you know, health insurance companies are the buyers of healthcare. You know, they're the ones that are purchasing healthcare on your behalf. And they actually have an incentive for the price to go up. And so, you know, just quick math here, it's not too hard, but, you know, if you have a $1,000 premium, there's a federal law that says they can only make 15% on that $1,000. So they can only make $150. So 10%, 15%. And so the question then becomes for the health insurance plans, well, how do I get my profit to rise? How do I get my $150 to rise by 10% to get to $165? Well, the only way to do that is to get the premiums to go from $1,000 to $1,100, right? So they actually have an incentive to see premiums rise. So what does that mean? That means they have an incentive for prices at the hospital to go up. They have a incentive to actually see you sick instead of healthy. They have an incentive to work with the pharmaceutical companies to pay these crazy high prices. They want the cost of healthcare to go up. So the buyers of healthcare want the cost to go up. The sellers of healthcare, which are these big hospital systems, they also want the price to go up. So when we're talking about, you know, economics here, it doesn't take a PhD to know that if you have the buyer of a service and the seller of a service both wanting the price to go up, the price goes up, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think it was Munger who said something like, you know, show me the incentives and I'll show you the outcomes. You know, so the incentives are completely perverse within our system. And that's ultimately leading to, I think, all of the things that you have just mentioned. It's leading to chronic diseases. It's leading to high prices. It's leading to, you know, these PBMs owning the pharmaceutical world. I mean, it's leading to all of these things, but ultimately it comes down to that. You have the buyer and the seller of healthcare both wanting the price to go up. And that's how the market is working. And so ultimately what we're trying to do is say, no. Like if you're not buying the service, you are actually the product, right? So if you're not buying the service, which you're not within healthcare, the health insurance plan is paying for it. Guess what? You, the patient, are the product, which means they're trying to make money on you, which is pretty sad to say when you're in healthcare. And so what we're trying to do is make you the actual buyer of the service. So when you go into your doctor, you're throwing down a credit card as opposed to an insurance card. And now the relationship between you and your doctor is direct. If you are paying with insurance, you have the government, you have the health insurance plan, everybody else in between you and your doctor. And that's a problem because now the doctor is actually working for the insurance plan. He can only do what the insurance plan is going to pay for. And so, you know, the doctor doesn't even work for you at that point. So whoever pays you is who you work for, right? The doctor is getting paid by the insurance company. They're working for the insurance company. So if you start paying the doctor directly, now you care about price because you're paying for it direct. You have a direct relationship with your doctor. You and your doctor can do whatever you want to be able to get your healthcare under control. And every party in that scenario wants you to get healthy. You know, if you don't get healthy, then the doctor looks bad because he didn't solve your problems. You're paying more money, and so it costs you money. And so the incentive systems are all aligned when you pay your doctor directly. In essence, what CrowdHealth enables you to do is to pay your doctor directly. We have a platform. In essence, it's a crowdfunding platform. We've got 10,000 people on that platform who are all funding each other's healthcare expenses. We can talk about the mechanics of how that works, but in essence, we allow you to pay in cash so that you can go directly to the doctor with a credit card or a check or whatever and pay him directly, him or her directly. And that resolves that perverse incentive problem. The other thing it solves is that now the doctor doesn't have to go and bill the health insurance plan, which costs him 30 or 40% of his revenue. There was a study that just came out that doctors spend about 15 and a half hours a week fighting with health insurance plans. That's two out of their 5 days almost, just fighting with insurance. I mean, what could you do, you know, with a doc for those 2 or 5 days if you actually could provide care? Like, how much more revenue could you have if you had actually 5 days out of the week as opposed to 3 days out of the week? And so the doctor is willing, as a result of that, to give you much better pricing because he doesn't have to fight with the insurance company. He can focus on services. He'll give you more time. You know, the average amount of time with a primary care doc right now is about 7 minutes. Like, to think that you're going to get your issue resolved in 7 minutes with a primary care doc, that forces them, the system, because of the way it is, forces them to lean on pharmaceuticals to resolve your symptoms as opposed to getting to the core root of the issue. So, you know, as I'm talking about all this, you can see how all these things are intertwined in the perverse incentives of the insurance system. And, you know, our platform allows you to go and have that direct relationship, and it wipes out all of those perverse incentives. And I think it is not only way, way cheaper, but actually leads to much, much better care.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And as a side note, or if you just want to write it down on your idea pad, I'm in construction. And so I deal a lot with homeowners insurance, and it's the exact same issue. And with all of these storms and fires and huge swaths of insurance companies leaving states, we will or are having the exact same crisis with homeowners insurance. And if there was someone that could bring a free market solution to that sector, It would be just as revolutionary as what you're doing. So maybe if somebody out there is listening that has a much larger brain with a better filing system than I do, could figure out, you know, another parallel solution, it would be revolutionary. And everything that you're saying, being outside of the health insurance system, like, we've gotten to experience all of that. What's fascinating to me, how I started with medical sharing 20 some years ago, is I had a group plan at work, and we were in our opt-in period, and there was some kind of kerfuffle with my premium payment, and it got delayed 30 days or something. So it was supposed to be applied, and it wasn't applied properly. My wife found out she was pregnant. I called to say, you know, my wife's pregnant and all this stuff. And they were like, oh, well, we didn't get your premium payment.
Jeez.
Yeah, you know, and this was 20 years ago when our premium payment was like $1,200. Now our deductible was a lot smaller back then, maybe $500 or something like that. And so what happened is they said, I said, well, okay, so you didn't apply my premium. Will I get reinstated? Yeah, yeah, no problem. You know, send us some money, you'll get reinstated. And I said, now it's very important. I need to be reinstated as my existing membership. Yeah, yeah, we'll reinstate you as your existing membership, blah, blah, blah. So I sent in the premium. Let me get you over to new business. And So, of course, they wanted to start me with a new policy. And I'm like, yeah, but then you're going to, my wife's already pregnant. So, of course, they did exactly. So what I did is I pulled the plug and I'm like, forget it. Don't apply my premium. And I said, hey, let's contact our OB directly. Let's contact the hospital. Let's ask them how much this costs. Because at that time, we had already had two kids and I had seen the hospital bills. And at that time, they were, say, $23,000, something like that. Now, at that time, they were like $12,000 to $15,000 between the first and second one. And so I'm like, well, let's contact them. And what we found out when we contacted them, like soup to nuts, out the door with no complications, obviously, our total cost would be about $2,300, $2,400. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's affordable. Like, you know, I wasn't a baller and I wasn't a high roller and we weren't making tons of money, but I'm like, but we can manage that. We can afford that and we can do that. So we moved forward with that. And that's actually when I was introduced, I was talking to a friend and they talked to me about medical sharing. And that's when my eyes were open to this convoluted system. And so that kind of broken, convoluted system that was broken 20 years ago was exacerbated by myhealth.gov or whatever, right?
Healthcare.gov.
Yeah, healthcare.gov. That made it this monolithic monster, right? That everybody is being forced into a system regardless of their comorbidities, regardless of all these other factors that nobody's allowed to take into, nobody can be rejected. So we're taking all of this additional cost and it's this monolithic bureaucratic monster that's exponentially and should grow exponentially every year and become more and more and more expensive, unfortunately, until it crashes. So it's great that there are parallel solutions through free market options. I'll give you another great example of something that I've recently noticed since 2020. What we've noticed here regionally is the Christus has bought up everything. They bought up all the hospitals. So you're watching things go more and more monolithic, right? But the beauty—
massive consolidation within healthcare over the last decade.
And the beauty of what you're doing is we still have to operate, in a sense, inside of this octopus, for lack of a better word, because like when you need to go to the emergency room, you need to go to the emergency room. But what you've done it so masterfully that we can still function inside of that kind of broken system, but we can do it in a financially efficient way where your solution works. And so if government really did want to fix something, right? If government really did want to correct the problem, they can say, hey, have Andy testify before Congress. He can bring his proof of work with him. He can demonstrably show, here's the solution. It's a free market solution. It will cost the government $0, right? And it will save the government trillions of dollars. And bam, there it is. And you're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, we just hit $5 trillion maybe just short of $5 trillion in healthcare spend in this country last year. And the funny thing is if our healthcare was a country, it'd have I think it's the fourth largest GDP in the world. After United States, China, and Japan, and I think it's about to overtake Japan. Our healthcare system alone, if we're a country, would have the fourth largest GDP in the world, which is absolutely, you know, crazy. The other crazy stat is the four largest health insurance companies have more revenue than the U.S. defense budget. Like, that blows me away. And so that's how it shows you that there's consolidation on the health insurance side. There's consolidation on the hospital side, which you just mentioned. And these dynamics are creating, you know, pretty awful outcomes for the people like me and you who depend upon these systems to, you know, provide us with healthcare. And so, you know, as you deconstruct the insurance side, which we're trying to do, in essence, you break it into millions of individuals negotiating with these hospitals as opposed to one, you know, as you said, monolithic entity like United Healthcare, which is, you know, $450 billion of revenue every year. And actually, we can negotiate with these hospitals better than they can. So, you know, think about that. You know, an individual can negotiate with a hospital better than the one of the largest companies on the planet. I think they're this 10th or something like that, largest company on the planet by revenue. So, so the question then is why? You know, so if you think about it, I live in Austin. We have two hospital systems in Austin. So United Healthcare comes in, and even if they wanted to negotiate, they couldn't, because if they don't have both hospital systems in Austin, they are toast in Austin. They have to have both of them. And so, you know, if United Healthcare says, hey, you know, we're going to reduce prices by 10%, one of the hospitals is like, all right, see ya, you know, and they would be toast. And so you have these oligopolies battling against other oligopolies. And that market force basically just enables people to kind of wink, wink, nod, nod, and just allow prices to go up enough that everybody makes a profit, but not enough for regulators to get really, really, you know, pissy at them. And so you'll see these prices, they go up, you know, 5 or 6% a year. And as we know, with compounding rates of return, 5% upon 5% upon 5% is a significant increase. And that's why we've seen, you know, prices basically triple over the last, you know, 15 or 20 years in healthcare. And that's why we are in the place that we're at. And what we found is that individuals can actually go in and negotiate way better prices than these big companies. And in fact, Crown Health members get about 50% better pricing on big bills when compared to United Healthcare. So, you know, it's significantly different if you go in and pay in cash as an individual versus what your health insurance plan. We have been psyoped into thinking, oh, these health insurance plans are getting great, great rates. They're using their size and their power. It's all BS. They are not using their size and power to get us really good rates. And in fact, they have gotten to their size and power because of really bad rates, you know, really high healthcare costs. They make more money when healthcare costs are high, not when they're low. And so their incentive is to see prices go up and not down. And that's just the tragedy of our system, which I think, you know, as we're trying to be, you know, as free market as absolutely possible, we're seeing those prices decline. And in fact, our prices at Crown Health are lower today in 2025 than they were in 2021 when we started. So we're actually seeing prices go down over a period of time as opposed to prices going up over a period of time. So that's just the beauty of having a market-based system.
Yeah, so let's discuss the nuts and bolts then of Crown Health. You know, the sign-up process, what's involved, the associated cost, and how what that looks like and how that works.
Yeah, the sign-up process is super easy. You can sign up whenever you want. You can quit whenever you want. So it's not, you know, you have to, there's no open enrollment periods or anything like that. That's an insurance system, you know, scam. So you can sign up today and you'll be eligible for funding for today, you know, if you want to. The sign-up process takes about 5 minutes. I was on a webinar maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, and the lady who was on the webinar, you know, who was watching, just said, I signed up, and it took me 90 seconds to sign up with Crown Health. You know, so it is not this like hour long, you know, torturous thing. It's just like, if you have a family, it'll take you a little longer because you got to put in all the kids and kids' birthdays and things like that. If you can remember them, dads.
It took my son like 5 minutes to sign up. And not only that, Crown Health assigned a direct liaison to him, and he had like, I mean, I'm telling y'all, look, if y'all are listening, and if you're concerned about healthcare, if you're concerned about the rising costs, I'm telling you that these guys have, relatively speaking, fixed all the issues and the problems. If you've ever been part of medical sharing, they have resolved these other issues. The ease of use is absolutely incredible. And just with a phone app and the speed and the intelligibility of the people that you communicate with, you're not going to talk to somebody in Pakistan. I mean, it's incredible. I can't praise y'all enough for what you're doing, because it really, the reason that you're on right now is I told Matt, check out Crown Health. And when we went through that process, and then he had his first medical event, and I'm like, this is so legit. This is so simple. This is so easy. And then so I started doing a little more research, and I think I listened to your interview with Sean Baker, and I'm like, these guys have solved the problem. And I'm like, I got to have him on because I just want people to know about what you're doing. Because, I mean, this is a massive issue with people, and these costs are going to continue to spiral. And here is a real solution that is incredibly inexpensive, incredibly quick, incredibly easy. And it's legit. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I am pretty excited.
No, you're fine. And people should know I'm not paying you to be on this podcast, but I appreciate your love for the service. Look, back to what you're saying, which is, you know, one of the things I hated about my insurance experience is I did talk to somebody in India when I called in complaining about my daughter's, you know, ear tubes not getting paid. And they didn't know what was going on. And so they punted me to somebody else and they didn't know what was going on. And it was like, you know, every time that you go through it, you're on the phone and it's like, press one to do this, press two to do this. And you're just like, you know, after an hour of, you know, this craziness, yeah. I'm just like, oh my gosh. And so what we've done at Crowd Health is you have a care advocate internally that is assigned to you. So every time you call in, every time you text, every time you email, whatever, the same care advocate who gets to know you, gets to know your family, gets to know who you are, gets to know your condition, whatever you're going through, can help you out. So there's no punting between, you know, people. And so you will have that care advocate, and he or she will help you along in that process, and is always accessible in multiple, you know, different ways. Like I said, phone call, text, email, you can do whatever you want. And that makes it super, super easy. So yeah, the sign-up process is super easy. And then it's very, very reasonable too, in terms of pricing. The way that we work is we want to make sure the incentives are aligned. And so we just have basically a membership fee. We call it an advocacy fee. You pay us $55 member per month. So if you have two people in your family, it's $110. That goes to us. That's the only money that we receive. We pay the bills with that money. And so we are incentivized to see the crowd grow. The larger the crowd grows, the more people we can ask for big bills. Like, we are totally aligned on that. And then we ask you for an additional $140 if you're an individual, $80 if you're over 55, $420 if you're a family of four or more. And that goes to another member in the community. So we will ask you once, typically once, maybe sometimes twice a month, for up to that amount. And that money goes directly to another person in the community. So they now have the money to go and pay for, what was your daughter-in-law or daughter's or daughter-in-law's broken hand or something, whatever was going on with that. So she now has the money in her account that she can go and pay for that bill directly. And so we've done this 20,000 times over the last 3.5 years, and 99.8% of the time those bills have gotten fully funded. And let me talk about the 0.2, because, you know, I don't say 100, but I want to talk about why the 0.2% didn't get funded. When your daughter-in-law submitted her bill, we know something about her, which is the last 10 times that she was asked to help somebody else in the community, did she say yes, 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 or did she say no, 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 no? If she said yes, 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 then she's been a good member of the community. And so if you're a good member of the community, I'm much more likely to give to you than if you have said no, 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 no. That means you're a taker and not a giver.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So the 0.2%, like I said previously, 99.8% of those bills have gotten funded. The 0.2 are from the people who've been takers and not givers.
Yeah.
And the community basically said, look, you're not helping any of us. Why am I going to help you? And so those bills were not fully funded. And so there's this community component of this
awesome.
That I think is really, really cool. You know, in addition to that, you know exactly where your money is going. Like, if I was asked with your daughter-in-law's hand, you knew that a woman in Texas broke her hand and needs help with that procedure. My money goes directly to her. And so it's not, you're not sending it to United Healthcare or, you know, one of these other big entities, and Lord knows who, you know, or how they're using that money. This money is going directly to another individual. And I'll tell you a quick story. I think it's we'll kind of highlight this. You know, our members pay for two things primarily. And I kind of joked, we pay for bumps. We pay for baby bumps because there's a lot of pregnancies, and we have a lot of people who get injured because they're out doing stuff. Your daughter-in-law was out taking care of the horses. We had a guy over the summer shoot himself accidentally. One bullet, six holes, you know, and fortunately,
in Alaska, right? It was that?
And he survived. Montana.
Montana? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
I read
Montana.
About that.
And so, you know, we we have all these situations. And one of the ones that we have is, you know, baby bumps. So we have a lot of pregnancies, which means, unfortunately, we have miscarriages. And so we will send that. There's cost associated with that. And so we will send that out to the community. And man, a lot of times we have people who will actually respond back and say, I know what this person, this woman is going through. Like, I've felt that. I know the pain of that. I know what they're going through. Like, and I would love to help her in some other way. Like, instead of $100 that she's asked for me, can I give you $200? And so, you know, that's just the power of
awesome.
Like community of people. Like, what we say is fund humans, not health insurance. Because in essence, that's what you're doing, is you're funding other human beings in the community as opposed to these big, massive, you know, profit driven insurance companies. And so that's a really important part, probably our biggest differentiator versus, you know, anything else out there, is it is a direct funding to another person in the community. I know Samaritan does that, but I think they're probably the only other ones that do that direct funding component. But I think it's a really, really important part of what we do, because we want to fund humans and not these big corporate machines.
Yeah, that is awesome. That's a very powerful story. How cool is that, to be able to participate on a personal level? I think that's why medical sharing is so powerful, because there is a lot of interpersonal relationships there. And in reality, I mean, people generally are compassionate, you know, and people generally want to help. So you're just, all you're doing is being a conduit to facilitate that. And it just shows how powerful that is.
Part of it too is, like, one of my missions here is, I think that, not to get too philosophical, but, you know, I think we've lost this sense of generosity in our country.
Sure.
You know, I think that, you know, like 30 years ago, when somebody moved in next door to you, and I know this happens in a lot of part of the country still, in Texas especially, but, you know, you'd bring them cookies or a gift or whatever and welcome them to the neighborhood. And in most parts of the country now, they're not doing that. What are they doing? They're looking at, what did this person buy their house for? Because that's the best indicator of what my house is worth, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is really a result of insurance companies, government entities coming in between us and our neighbor to say, hey, you don't have to love your neighbor. We've got this. You know, let the government take care of it. In reality, what we should be doing is, like, no. We are responsible to love our neighbors well. We are responsible for helping other people. And so while our community is a bunch of neighbors, they're virtual neighbors, let's say, but I think that we're trying to really kind of reinvigorate this generosity, this sense of generosity within our country. And it is truly kind of a love your neighbor type of premise here. And while we don't overtly, you know, share our faith, we are based in biblical principles, and love your neighbor is at the top of that, right? Like, we're instructed to love God and love your neighbor. Like, that's number one and number two. And so
that's it.
I think this is a great way of doing that within healthcare, which is probably the most needed place that we just need help when bad things happen. And we need help from other people to get us there. And so that's in essence what we're trying to do.
Yeah. And it just, your message speaks to what we try to continue to expound on, is parallel society, parallel community, and parallel community is your local community. And our ethos and what guides us, we are overtly Christian, and love your neighbor, you know, that's community. That's the fundamental building blocks of community. And the only way you can love your neighbor is to know who your neighbor is. You know what I mean? So if you start to communicate, right, and work together, and now this is an opportunity to do this on a different level and to utilize technology and different things. And what is very awesome about it is, not only are you able to do this using technology on a virtual level, it's dramatically, let's talk about a medical event with standard healthcare versus a medical event with crowd health, and like a side-by-side comparison.
Yeah. Real quick, I want to make sure that on that last point, I was talking about the pricing, and then I'll get into your question. I apologize for going backwards.
Yeah.
But one of the things I did mention is we asked you to give up to $140 if you're a single, and up to $420 if you're a family, to another person in the community. Say up to, because we only ask for what the community needs that month. So while our single people, we ask up to 140. And in fact, we're sitting here in January, we only asked for 85 of the 140 in January.
Wow.
So for that family, you know, when we typically ask them 420, we're asking only 255 from that family this month. And why is that? It's because bills are really, really low, because people are taking care of themselves, because people aren't going to the ER for sniffles, because people are allowing us to find them really great doctors in their area that are willing to take cash and take a discount if you pay them in cash. And so those are the things that differentiate us from some of these health shares, which, as you think, you started off the podcast with saying, you know, these health shares have gotten really actually kind of expensive. Their costs continue to increase. And in fact, some of our hardest members are health share members, because they just go out and, you know, get whatever service wherever they want and don't allow us to negotiate for them. Because if they allow us to negotiate for them, typically we can get those prices down by like 50%. And so that's the one thing that we ask our members to do, is like, hey, allow us to negotiate for you before you pay for the service. Don't go pay for the service and then come ask for money, because then you know, it's gone at that point. Like, there's impossible to negotiate once the person's got the money in their bank account, right?
Yeah. And, so what you've done is
do differently.
Yeah. And you've made that process so ridiculously easy. It's fascinating to be able to use an app and a click. I mean, it is, you know, I'm not trying to be like super cheerleader or anything, but I'm like, it's better than advertised. And I'll point out again, just like Andy was saying last month, it's under promise, over deliver, right? It's like, you know, here's the max, but here's what we actually charge. And it's once again, it's showing the proof of concept that it works. And it's been a great experience on our.
And now you have an incentive, as I said, to actually go and provide market forces, because the better pricing that you get, the lower the community ends up paying, right? So you're actually feeling that directly and with the other community members. I mean, we had a guy in Dallas who had colon cancer, and he came to us and he's like, man, I can't believe I got colon cancer. Guy was in his 30s. Like, it was one of these crazy scenarios. And he's like, you know, I want to find the best doctors in the world, but I would love for you to negotiate for me, because I don't want to screw the crowd. You know, and it was like, wow, like, that guy was actually cared about the community that he was in addition to clearly caring about his health. And as a result of these things, we've been able to keep, you know, these bills really, really low. To segue into your next question, which I think it is a perfect one. You know, we had a woman, I think this was even like 3 or 4 weeks ago, go in for a hysterectomy, because I there was some cancer related stuff there. She needed to get a hysterectomy. And this is one of the ones, this is probably our best negotiation ever, but health insurance plans would have paid, I think it was $29,000 for this procedure. Our member got it for like $4,000.
Wow.
I mean, it was just crazy. And I had to double check the bill, because I was like, really? It's this good? Like, even I wasn't surprised we could even do that good. But that's just the difference between paying in cash at the point of care, as opposed to, you know, plopping down your health insurance card. That is the difference. And so that's the difference between health insurance and doing something like Crowd Health is, I mean, the prices are number one. The second is, there are no networks. So, you know, you can go to whoever you want. Again, all we ask is you'd allow us to negotiate, you know, with these doctors prior to you getting services. So it's, you know, one more step on your side, but I think it alleviates, if you're willing to take that step up front, it alleviates all the back end nonsense. You know, the two things that I hate in Texas is property taxes and explanation of benefits from insurance companies. And the reason why is because both of them, you have no idea where they come up with these numbers. Like, they almost like pick them out of, you know, thin air somewhere. What? And so, you know, why not take care of that up front so you don't have to deal with the craziness on the back end? And that's all we're asking people to do. So that's the difference between, you know, us and health insurance. It's just as easy as health insurance, one little step, but it will save you just a ton of money if you're willing to take that one little step, as opposed to just going down and putting down an insurance card and then hoping that these insurance companies will take care of you.
Yeah. And it's part of personal responsibility and being part of the process and active and educated in that process is like, okay, we're providing you with a benefit. It's a steeply discounted benefit. And the one ask we have is to allow us to negotiate this beforehand. And you've made it so incredibly simple that you'd be foolish to not comply with the ask because of, one, the value you get on the front end monthly by the reduced share and the reduced burden that you put on your parallel community as a whole with the overall general cost. I mean, it's just, and for a logical, rational thinking person, you're just like, yeah, it's a no brainer. It just makes sense. It's part of the process.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, for the little bills, what we ask you to do is just pay those and then you can submit them to the community later. For those big planned events, let's just say you're out and you tear your ACL or something and you have to go get your ACL repaired, we just ask that you call us so that we can negotiate with the doc before you go and get the service. We'll crowdfund that beforehand so that you can actually show up and pay it at the point of care. And at that point, cool, you get way better rates. And then, wow, I'm assuming your daughter-in-law went to the mm-hmm. ER. You typically get bills afterwards. And so what we ask you to do is just you go to the app, you take a picture of your bill, we consolidate those on the back end, and then we'll negotiate them for you on the back end. And then we'll go back to your daughter-in-law and say, hey, your bill was $10,000. We negotiated it down to $3,000. Are you okay with us going into the community and funding that? She gives the thumbs up. We go and fund that money. That ends up in her account. So now that she has that $3,000 to go and then pay that bill directly. So it's really super easy and it doesn't take a ton of time. And yeah, it's just simplicity is one of our core values. And so everything we do, we're like, okay, how do we make this as simple as possible, knowing that the healthcare system is just so complex?
Andy, you have an incredible hack that I want you to share regarding visiting the ER. What recommendation do you have? I thought this was excellent, so I just wanted to give you an opportunity to.
Yeah. You know, whenever you go to the doctor or dentist or whatever, they give you a clipboard, right, of all these papers that you have to fill out. And typically what happens is you go through them, you try to get through them as quick as possible, you sign the bottom, you move on, you hand it back, and you're done. Well, one of those forms is called the personal financial responsibility form. And basically what it says, because you didn't read it probably, is that you are responsible for all the costs associated with this visit, regardless of what the price is. So you're basically signing away your life by signing this sheet of paper. And so what I would recommend people doing is if you get it on in a tangible format, like it's actually on a sheet of paper, what I ask people to do is mark through that line and say, I will pay reasonable costs, and then sign it. If it shows up on an iPod or iPad or one of those things, electronic formats that they do often do in the hospital, what I say is in the signature line, I won't sign. And most of the times they will, 99% of the time they will accept that. And what that allows you to do is afterwards, you could actually then go in and negotiate with them because you just didn't sign your life away. If you actually sign that, then they basically say, look, you just signed a contract with us that said you'll pay whatever we charge you. And so here's the price. You have pre-agreed to pay for that. And so what I tell people, and this could save you tens of thousands of dollars, make sure you don't sign that form without either writing through it or putting in the signature line, won't sign. And that'll save you a ton of money.
Well, yeah. And what all of these illegal invasion that has happened to America, we know that they legally can't refuse service. So whether you sign it or not, they can't refuse to.
Yeah, they can't refuse to pay. There's a federal law, it's EMTALA, I don't know exactly where, emergency medical something law that basically says if you go in, they cannot treat you any different based upon your insurance status. And I have talked to probably two dozen ER docs now, and the vast majority of them say, all of them say they don't know the insurance status. And most of them say that the hospital actually restricts insurance status from what they can see because they don't want them treating them any different so they don't break these rules, these federal laws, because the penalties, the fines are stiff if they break these laws.
Another incredibly innovative thing that Crowd Health is doing proactively, in my opinion, is combating chronic disease by certain metrics. Like, for example, the carnivore crowd, right? So there are, to be part of the carnivore crowd, there are very, in my opinion, incredibly minimal metrics, right, that allow you to participate in this group. And just by that sheer, one, by the metric, and two, by those type of people that are proactively involved in their own health, should continue to reduce costs for that group. Maybe you could explain that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the key here is, like, if you're healthy, you're paying too much for health insurance, in essence, is what's going on. You know, because you are subsidizing all of the people who are not healthy and deciding to live lifestyles that are unhealthy. You know, to give you one example, about 25 cents of every dollar goes to diabetes. And the vast majority of that, 90% of that, is type 2 diabetes, which is a lifestyle issue. This is pounding your body with processed food, carbohydrates for decades. And as a result, your body can't produce the insulin that it typically would produce. It's desensitized, in essence, to some of these blood sugar spikes in your body. And so what we're saying is that people who've lived a healthy lifestyle should be paying less than people who aren't living a healthy lifestyle. And so, you know, we have got a couple of metabolic health metrics that we have used. One is fasting insulin. So that's a pretty good proxy for metabolic health. And in essence, it's saying, what is the insulin level in your blood when fasting? And that just shows that your body has the ability to produce or basically absorb the glucose that it needs to. And that glucose in your blood, with the insulin that is required to basically, you know, stick it into your cells, is the origin of many, many, many chronic conditions. So my argument would be cardiovascular disease is primarily a product of the overuse of insulin by your body, and it breaks down the arterial walls. It's not cholesterol. Cholesterol is the Band-Aid. Because you're doing this, cholesterol goes and tries to Band-Aid it up. It's trying to protect you. You get too many Band-Aids on one side is one thing, and ultimately it breaks, and that leads to a heart attack. The second one that we have is visceral fat. So visceral fat is all the fat that's hanging out in between your organs. It's not typically the fat that is around your waist, although that is very correlated. The visceral fat is the stuff that's sitting in between your organs and keeps your organs from functioning properly. And so you can measure that with a DEXA scan. It's a $100 scan. It's great for Crowd Health members. Actually, in the first quarter of this year, all have access to DEXA scans, which are fully fundable by the community. So you go and get a $100 DEXA scan. You can submit it to the community. The community will fund it back for you. And the reason we're doing this is so that people start to understand how their body works. What are the biometrics that you should be paying attention to? And only the things that you measure will ultimately change. And so we want people to start measuring visceral fat, fasting insulin. Next quarter is VO2 max, which is basically how well your body uses oxygen. We're going to do fasting insulin at the end of the year. So we're trying to do some of these things throughout the year so that people can actually get educated and understand how their body works.
Awesome.
Because ultimately what I want a bunch of members who are in their 80s, you know, playing wiffle ball in the backyard with their grandkids, right? Like that's life. That's thriving. You know, living hard and dying fast, as opposed to living really, really poorly and dying slow. Nobody wants to die slowly, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And so I think that's human thriving. And so we're trying to get our members to start understanding some of this stuff. And a lot do. But those that don't, we're trying to get them educated. If you have a visceral fat level that's in the bottom 25%, if you have a fasting insulin below, I think it's 5.5, which, you know, basically puts you as metabolically healthy, then you are getting a discount on your Crowd Health membership. So that's ultimately where we're headed. We're going to call it Crowd Health Metabolic. It's going to be kind of our Crowd Health Carnivore version 2, where you're actually getting somewhere between 10 and 20%, depending upon how good your scores are, discount on your Crowd Health membership as a result of being healthy. And so we hope that will incentivize people to get healthy And we hope that it incentivizes people who are healthy to join Crowd Health so we can have this flourishing healthy community that continues to pay for pregnancies and injuries. Like I'm happy to pay for those things. It's the chronic illnesses that I'm kind of pissy about paying for.
And basically what happens is you have basically Crowd Health becomes a true, real catastrophic illness policy, and it is there exclusively in the event of a large loss, catastrophic illness. It's just, you know, in the case of that happening, but relatively speaking, you're healthy, accidents happen, and that kind of stuff's going to happen. But because it is really more of a catastrophic illness policy, it's going to drive the cost down further. It's going to become more and more efficient. I just see it as like a really awesome solution. We're super pumped about it, and we're excited about being able to participate. We will actually leave a referral link in the show notes down below, and you can use that referral link and you can learn more information. And then if you want to get started and participate, I mean, it's kind of fascinating to me that it is month to month and you can try it out. I mean, and you will see that if it is just that simple, the costs are incredibly minimal just to try. And now you also
and with that
have,
link, by the way, that link is that allows you to get $99 per month for the first 3 months per person.
Great. Okay, awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
So you get a discount if you use that link. So everybody, like, you know, look, if you're kind of skeptical of this or whatever, like, try it. It's $99 a month. You know, my family saved about $20,000 last year on healthcare expenses by using Crowd Health. Most of our families save somewhere between $10,000 and $12,000. And so it is a massive savings. And so it's worth, you know, making the investment of $99 for a couple months to see if you like it. I think you'll be pleased. And if you don't, then hey, that's all good. You can go back to what you were using.
Yeah. And Andy, don't you have people using Crowd Health as almost like a stopgap? So they have conventional insurance, but they also have
20%.
Okay,
about 20%
cool.
of our members have health insurance and Crowd Health back to back. And I think most of those people are actually like not really sure about this. This is new. This is different. It's a different way of paying for things. We've been PSYOP since the beginning to think this is the only way. I get it. You know, but most of those people end up canceling their insurance after a little bit of time after they realize that, hey, we're legit. You know, the biggest question that people have is, what about the big one? You know, can you help me pay for the big one? And I can tell you now that we're 20,000 bills in. You know, we've had dozens of cancer cases. We've had dozens of NICU babies. And we've had automobile accidents. Like I said, you know, this guy in Montana shot himself. That's probably going to be ultimately a $1 million bill. You know, we had to medevac him out from a stream in the middle of Montana because he was 2 hours from the closest hospital. And so, you know, we've shown through the community that we can get these big, big bills paid. And, you know, I'm eating what I'm selling. My family's on it. My nephews are on it. My brothers and sisters are on it. And so, you know, I feel very, very good that even with the big ones, our members are going to help you out way, way better than insurance plan. You know, we fight for you to get these bills paid. Health insurance plans fight against you to get these bills paid. When you have a really big healthcare bill, like, who do you want? Somebody that fights for you or against you? I think it's pretty clear what I would choose.
Yeah, and it's collective, and we're all in the same boat together. Everyone has to do their part to help control costs. And the beauty of how you're almost gamifying health by allowing these different metric markers like DEXA, insulin, VO2 max, you are incentivizing health. And
yeah, exactly.
In addition to incentivizing, you're educating. And I mean, the beginning and the end, right? Why do people say, oh, Crowd Health doesn't work, or I don't think that'll work? Well, once they're educated, right? And once they get to experience it, and then they're like, oh, yeah, well, no, I had a claim. I pushed the button. They negotiated it for me. I went, I had the service, I paid the bill. I'm done. All things have remained consistent and the same. Wow, this works. This is a functioning system. And that's just an education process. So as you're also incentivizing, like, hey, we're gonna reimburse you for these different metrics. So now you have no excuse I don't know what my fasting insulin level is. Well, we're going to pay for you to get it done. And then you can get those numbers. You can have them reviewed. You can educate yourself. And now you have a metric. Well, previously, I didn't know what a healthy, I didn't know what a metabolically sound fasting insulin level was. But now I know. And so now, you know what? Maybe I'll check that every 6 months, or maybe I'll check it every year. Like when the change your oil light comes on the car, logical, rational people that like a functioning car to perform and last and drive for 300,000 miles, they go get their oil changed, right? And that's all these biomarkers are, is rather than in a disease management system, it's like, wait for all the engine lights to come on, wait for the oil plug to blow out, and you'd be like streaming black oil down the road, and then we'll prescribe you a pharmaceutical and, you know, good luck.
Yeah, exactly.
But instead of that, if you're proactively involved and now you don't have a financial disincentive to not do it, I would say, hey, the community, we care about your numbers. You should care about your numbers. We care about it so much. We are all going to come together. We are going to reimburse you. You're going to get your numbers, and then you're going to be educated on your numbers. And then if your number's good, everybody's costs go down. I mean, talk about like free market, collaboration, parallel society, parallel community, parallel solutions that is outside of the bureaucracy. It's outside of the district of criminals and the monolithic mega transnational corporations that are just trying to redistribute our wealth to the one percenters. This is a real, you're a real person and you're a Texan. And I know your boots aren't worn out, but I'm a transplant
too. I'm getting there.
We've been here 10 years. I'm a transplant too. I have worn out one pair of boots, but I crazy glued them together. So I think I'm official now or whatever, but Andy, man, this has been awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate your time. I appreciate your yeoman's work, what you're doing. Like I said, the referral link is down below. You can check that out. You will get a discount if you want to give it a try. You can test drive it. I think that's awesome. In closing, any parting thoughts or words or anything that you want to leave with the audience?
Yeah, I mean, I think, good news, bad news here. Good news is you've heard of a different solution, a different option. You know, I think the bad news now is you can't complain if you continue with your current option. You know, like you know now, ignorance is bliss, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so look, all I would say is like, if you hate our healthcare system and you want to change it, like come and join an alternative. And I, you know, whether it's Crowd Health or one of the health shares or whoever, like, join an alternative that's actually out there trying to create market forces in healthcare, because I think that's the only way that we keep the government from going, you know, a government-funded system. And we are headed that direction in the next 10 years. It's the last thing I want. And so we really need to show that these alternatives will work and will thrive and will satisfy their customers and provide them really good care. And so please, you know, consider joining an alternative. Crowd Health, I think, is the best. I'm a bit biased, but, you know, come and join us if you're all interested. Like I said, $99 a month, it's worth a shot.
Yeah. And just in closing, that being said, what kind of feedback are you getting back from doctors as far as wanting to be referred to your customer base?
Yeah. I think the only folks that love us more than our members are the doctors, because the fact that, you know, they are getting paid in cash and don't have to do all this administrative BS. Like, they get into the practice of medicine to practice medicine and not fight with health insurance plans. You know, nobody likes the administrative components of their job, and doctors have probably more of that than any other profession. So they love us. I mean, we have dozens of doctors reaching out to us every week being like, please, will you send me people? I'll give you a great discount if you allow me to get paid in cash. So they love what we're doing and are super, super supportive.
Well, that is awesome. Well, y'all, I appreciate you listening. And remember, this is a value for value proposition. So if you love the type of information that we are giving you, please go on over to thetexasboys.com. And love and appreciate y'all. And remember, stay fearless, my friends.